Bet on Bears fans, another edition of the Chicago Bears podcast is coming your way. Pat the Designer back at it again, and we got to talk about this Chicago Bears team. We looked at them in the Hall of Fame game, but since then we've been able to have one practice, and the offensive line, ladies and gentlemen, continues to be a question. We're going to look at this offensive line and looking if the Chicago Bears have done enough to really put it out there in front of Caleb Williams, or do they still need to do more? Talk about all that and more on today's episode of the Chicago Bears podcast. Hit that like button, subscribe to the page, leave a 5-star review. Y'all know what to do. Appreciate you guys for rocking with us as always, man. Hit that like button. Like I said, we got a lot to get into on today's episode. We did have a practice yesterday, a training camp practice. As I believe it was day 12 of training camp. And listen, to say the least, it was not a fabulous day for either side of the field, but the offense was the one that had the most glaring issues because of the offensive line struggles and inconsistencies that continue to happen with this team. Not only did the Bears offensive line struggle, but starting off during walkthroughs, you had an offensive unit out there: Braxton Jones, Tevin Jenkins, Ryan Bates, Nate Davis, and Matt Pryor. Darnell Wright was out there, but he was not in pads, so not out there really contributing. But the biggest problem that ends up happening is the starting offensive line. When you got out there with the first team offense, you started to see some guys start to drop. And number one in that was Tevin Jenkins. Tevin Jenkins ended up going out with a trainer. Don't know what ended up happening. Don't know what the severity is with that. We didn't get a chance to talk to Matt Eberflus yesterday, but he left the field with an athletic trainer after the stretching. Jahdyr Carter actually stepped in at left guard during the offensive line drills, but it didn't end up being the actual lineup. The lineup we ended up seeing was Braxton Jones. Jerome Carvin ended up getting those minutes. Who Jerome Carvin, somebody who it seems like the Bears are kind of interested in. We saw him get the start in the Hall of Fame game. So they are taking a strong look at Jerome Carvin. Don't know if he'll be a part of the team long term here. Ryan Bates was at center. Bill Murray at right guard. As Nate Davis was out there, he was going through walkthrough with the first team offense, but not sure if it was by design or if they just were like, you know, we got to be cautious with this guy, or if he re-aggravated an injury that we saw him be held out for in the previous weeks. But he ends up leaving during the offensive line, defensive line drills, went to talk with a trainer, took off his pads, put his jersey back on, and basically was hanging around the training room. Don't know if he was limited or if this was something that was aggravated, but here's the thing at the end of the day. That entire spiel that I just went through tells you that you've got some problems on the offensive line. Tells you that there are some things on this line that in my mind seem familiar. In my mind, seem very repetitive of what we've seen in previous seasons. In my mind, seem very questionable to be putting your new quarterback in front of your first overall pick, your rookie quarterback. And so the question that I continue to have for Bears fans is, did this team do enough on the offensive line this offseason? Did they do enough to address it? And It's such a layer of different things. And to me, it really is. It's such a different conversation when you look at all three additions that the Bears realistically made on this offensive line. You talk about a guy like Karan Amagedji, who you go out and draft in the third round. He's a third round pick. You expect him to make some impact, but he hasn't been able to be a part of anything that you've done this offseason. So you have no idea what this kid is going to look like. Then you look at the two centers that you brought in. And in my mind, the most important position that you could have addressed this offseason. I've said this a couple of times. I said this during the offseason. This will be the most important position that you have to get right because of what we saw last season. Listen, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I don't think that some of the blame, a good portion of the blame that happens to be placed upon where this team was last season should go to Justin Fields. There were times where he held the football too long. There were times where he didn't make the right decision. That just is what it is. But there is a big portion of it as well If we're sitting here doing pie charts, right, I'm saying equal thirds on this. There's a major portion of it that goes to the fact that his starting center, both of them, were snapping the football trying to get it from the left field all the way to home plate. And we saw some of that pop up again yesterday. Ryan Bates, I mean, this is a couple of times now in a row where he's gotten the tick at starting center. At least they're finally giving him some of the reps that he's needed the entire time that you've been really trying. Because Ryan Bates is the guy they want to be starting center. We keep seeing that. We keep hearing, oh, it's a competition. You want Ryan Bates to be the starting guy. That's why you put him out there. But that's why you traded for him, I should say. But I mean, you've got a guy who has yet again continued to struggle to snap the football. When in shotgun, that has been where the problem has come in. And yes, those are things that can be worked out if you get him the reps there. Those are things that can be worked out if you consistently put him at the spot for him to learn those things. But once again, you're still playing the exact same game. And that is my problem with what we're seeing with the Chicago Bears offensive line. That is my issue with how this offensive line has been built realistically since Ryan Poles has been here. And I understand this is not the smear Poles campaign. I think that Ryan Poles has done a phenomenal job. I think that, you know, I talked about this yesterday on the Windy City Breeze as well. And to me, right, like the comments that I kept getting was, well, you wanted Rome Odunze, you wanted Caleb Williams, so you couldn't address the offensive line. I don't think that that is the case. And I think it's one of my issues with what we've seen with Ryan Poles to this point. Now, he did, with his third-round pick, address offensive line, right? He went out and got an offensive lineman in left tackle, Karan Amageji. But was there an opportunity for you to possibly package some picks and try and move up in this draft? Are you going to address this heavily this season, which could also be a concern? Are you going to address this in the offseason by maybe going out and getting a guy like Connor Williams that's still here? Like, those are things that you do have to take into account, things that haven't been done yet. But like, when I look at the draft, right, to me, a name like Jackson Powers Johnson was there. It was there. You package a couple of picks. Yes, you don't have Torrey Taylor. Yes, you don't have Austin Booker. But you know what? You trade those picks. You pair those picks up with possibly your second, maybe your actual second, and not the Panthers' second from next season. And all of a sudden, you're in the second round this season. I think that that's a doable deal. I think that that was a doable deal, and you could have absolutely gotten a starting center that you were sitting there trying to mold into form. That at least already, if you're going to sit here and do the, we're going to turn him into a center and figure things out, at least do it with a guy that's already played center in his career. And so that's why I look at this offensive line. I question how Ryan Poles has put it together consistently. I love the Darnell Wright pick. I think that that was a great pick last year. But outside of that, you're asking the exact same questions this season that you were asking last season. Tell me which one is different. Tell me which offensive line position you feel woefully better about this season than you did last season. There was an attempt to try and fix the offensive line at the center position by going out and getting a guy who's never played center in his career and another guy who's a young player who a team was willing to move on from because they didn't feel that he was sufficient enough at center in his career. I get sick of playing the same games over and over again and expecting different results. I don't know if you guys have looked up the definition of insanity, but that's literally it. Legitimately, what the Bears are doing at offensive line this year, they're trying to take a guard who played primarily guard and turn him into a center. They're trying to take an older center and continue to squeeze it. Well, I guess not an older center. Coleman Shelton's not older. They're trying to take a center that is below average, and they're trying to continue to squeeze as much juice out of him as you can. Ayo. They're trying to rely on the health of Tevin Jenkins and the health of Nate Davis. They're hoping that Braxton Jones takes this next step, and all of a sudden he's going to become the left tackle of the future. We played this game. I watched this movie. I've been watching this movie for the last 4 years. We've seen this. How many times do we got to keep watching this rerun? It's like Star Wars on AMC at this point. And that's what my issue is right now with where this Bears offensive line is. That's why I have problems with where this Bears offensive line is right now. Because we're doing the same thing and we're hoping for different results. That's the definition of insanity. We are literally looking at this offensive line going, maybe it'll be different this time. You've got a line of ifs right now. If Braxton Jones improves on the bull rush, if Tevin Jenkins is able to stand in there and stay healthy for at least 15 games, 14, 15 games in my book, right? If Ryan Bates turns into an elite starting center, if Coleman Shelton all of a sudden fixes his pass protection problems, if Nate Davis is finally able to stay out there for a full practice and actually be able to build a rapport with this team, you got four ifs on a line of five. That's a problem. That's a problem. Now, listen, I can be proven wrong if they go out there and it doesn't matter, very similar to what we saw with Joe Burrow when he was still one of the highest sacked quarterbacks in the NFL, but he was just such a phenomenal quarterback that he was able to deliver the football and it takes you all the way to the Super Bowl. Then he gets hurt again. Then he comes back. And the next time he's out there, he takes you all the way to the AFC Championship game. Then he gets hurt again and misses half a season. I can be proven wrong if we end up in a Super Bowl because of that. But is that the scenario that you're looking for? And it'll be a little bit different with Caleb because Caleb's more of a mobile player. Caleb has more of an ability to use his legs. He's not going to sit there and have to just take a beating. But my God, how many QBs are we going to do this for? How many quarterbacks are we going to put out there and say, hey, you know what? You shouldn't need an offensive line. You got to figure that out. We've done it for Justin Fields. We did it for Mitch Trubisky. We did it for Jay Cutler. How many times are we going to play this game and realize that the trenches is where you need to be your best at? And I mentioned it before, right? Some people say, well, Pat, you were hype about bringing in Roma Dunze. Roma Dunze doesn't mean that you can't go out there and address some of the major issues that you have on this offensive line. And maybe you did with Karan. Maybe you did. Maybe that's the guy. But I don't know if I feel like the guy from Yale is the ultimate answer. Maybe he's better than Braxton Jones and there's an upgrade there. I'd be happy. But we haven't seen him on the field. He can't even get on the field yet. I don't know if you guys remember the last time we took a chance bringing in a guy who was already injured, but that guy's up for contract this year, and the biggest question we have is he going to be healthy? Big guys usually don't get healthier as they continue to play football. Very rarely do you see offensive linemen with back issues or right with knee issues, with all of these issues. All of a sudden, they're just like, I'm fixed. It's a Christmas. Knee issues a little bit less. And Karan ended up being a torn quad, so maybe it's nothing major, right? Like maybe you're not. I'm not as worried about that as I am about some of the other injuries that the Bears have brought on. I'm not sitting here telling you that it's time to panic on that. But then you do have to take into account that your pick to try and fix everything was a left tackle from Yale, who, yes, had some really good numbers, had some really good play when he was at Yale. I think that he can be a solid player, but there is still that aspect of it. There is still that aspect of, okay, what competition did you go up against at Yale? I know that he put some big name guys on their butts. But everybody in the NFL is a big name guy. Everybody in the NFL is a dog. Can he match that level of intensity when he gets here? Now, I'm not putting it all on Karan's shoulders, but it kind of is. Hey, bud, you might be the savior of this team, the savior of this offensive line with how some of this is going to go. Very similar to the position that Braxton Jones was put in his rookie year. That, to me, is just, it's not how I would want to build things. It's not how I would want to see the Bears go out and build things. And again, I may be proven wrong. This may all be for naught. It may be a concern of nothing. But I get concerned when I'm seeing the movie of things that I've already seen before, and they did not end well. Why is this going to be different? Somebody tell me that. Because the head coach is the same. The last time we played this game, right? 2 years ago? Last year? Same head coach. So why is this going to be different? Why is this combination of guys going to be different, even though it's mostly the same guys? I just want to know. Let me know your thoughts in the comments below. I'll be down to talk with you guys as well. Do you feel like this is going to be different? Do you feel like this is going to be better? This is not going to be the Lucas Patrick, Cody Whitehair situation. Let me know. Because with both starting centers that we may have right now, you got two guys who are struggling to snap the football and shotgun to Caleb Williams. You've got a couple of guys who are the same guys who were out there that were injury prone before. Like we played this game. And guess what? We lost. At what point do we stop playing this game? The weaponry may make a difference. We've seen the weaponry make a difference. It's a very different NFL. Maybe having the wide receivers you have on this team and the amount of weapons you have, he's able to get the ball out so quick, the offensive line doesn't matter, and they end up actually being fairly efficient. But that's not what we're seeing in practice right now. And yes, we are talking about practice right now. Situational period yesterday during practice. Bill Murray with a hold on Jervon Dexter. There was a fumbled snap. Ryan Bates was at center. You got a run out by Roschon Johnson. You got a completed pass to DJ Moore. Caleb Williams got ruled down on a scramble. Incomplete pass to Colin Johnson. Incomplete pass to the right intended for Keenan Allen. Like that's just in practice, and I get it. And everybody's like, well, Pat, it's just practice. What are you worried about? This was practice last year. This is what we saw to the offensive line in practice last year. We played this game, and I'm tired of playing it. Especially with everything that you've done to invest in this young quarterback. How about you invest in keeping him upright? I don't care what side you were on in the Bears civil war on Twitter during the offseason. At the end of the day, I don't want to see Caleb Williams laying down on his back. I don't want to see Caleb Williams picking his head up off the ground. I've seen too many quarterbacks go through that. I don't want to see Caleb Williams living the Derek Carr life, the Justin Fields life, the Jay Cutler life, the Mitch Trubisky life. When are we going to figure it out? Hey, you maybe if you have the most sacked quarterback in the NFL, it's a tough time to play football. How many quarterbacks we got to go through for that to finally sink in with this organization? And again, maybe it's much to do about nothing. And I'm sure some people in the comments are going to feel that way. But in my mind, there's an answer out there. And I would love to go out there and get the edge rusher opposite Montez Sweat. I would love to go out there and get the guy who, you know, can pressure the quarterback. I would love to go out there and add as many weapons as possible to this defense as you can. But you know what? Doesn't matter if your quarterback can't move the football up and down the field and Connor Williams is still out there. Now, there's been some concern on Connor Williams. Yurko has put some concern out there. I've been concerned about Connor Williams, and I understand all of that. I understand the concern around Connor Williams, right? Coming off of injury, very similar to what I just said. Big guys usually don't get healthier when they come off of injury. But coming off a knee injury, a major knee injury, why would you want to take a chance on him, Pat? You just said, you know, these big guys, they don't get healthier. Is his knee going to get healthier? Are you taking a chance on his knee being an issue? Right? Why would you want to go out there and get him? I'll tell you. Because if I'm going to take a chance on a guy being able to be out there 17 games, dare say I want to take a chance on the guy who was able to be the all-pro level player. Dare say I'm going to take a chance on the guy who was able to go out there and consistently be one of the best centers on the field while he was out there. And yeah, dare say I'm going to take a chance on the guy who, for three of his last four seasons, has been a fairly healthy player. Yeah, I'll take a chance on that guy. Still gave you 9 games last year, 17 games year before that, 17 games year before that with Dallas when he was playing left guard as well, 16 games with Dallas when he was playing left guard, played 11 and 13 his first two seasons. There's been some up and down injury-wise with him. I'm not going to deny that. But I'll take a chance on the guy who, when he was healthy, was an all-pro level player. Can we say that about Ryan Bates? We can't even say that when Ryan Bates was healthy, he was a starter. You want him to be your starting center. We can't even say that with Coleman Shelton, when he was healthy and out there, and he's been a fairly healthy player, right? He's not somebody I'm worried about injury-wise, but we can't say when he was out there that he was an elite center. But we're taking a chance on him already. You're taking a chance on guys like Tevin Jenkins. Why? When Tevin Jenkins out there, there's very few left guards better in this NFL than Tevin Jenkins. I get that. Nate Davis is a major question for me. I don't get that one. But I mean, listen, 10-7 on the dead cap. If we cut him this year, yeah, I'm good. You cut him post June 1. Although I guess you could just say cut them. Now everybody's post June 1 at this point. Like, I get it. I get the risk. I get the fear. What I don't get is sending your rookie quarterback out there behind an offensive line that has the same questions as a bad offensive line that you had last season. I also don't get the people who are like, well, this offensive line was just bad because Justin Fields was bad. Justin Fields held the football too long. So what's different? You tell me, what's different? What changed? What questions aren't we asking this year that we didn't ask last season? What questions did we leave last season that have been addressed this season? You tell me. I've been the biggest skeptic of the Ryan Bates move. I've said I like Bates as a starting guard. I like him to replace Nate Davis. He's got 150 center snaps, guys. People want to hail Coleman Shelton as this phenomenal guy that's going to just bounce back, and he's going to have the, here it comes. Oh, it's finally the season where he's dominating. Why would that happen? And I swear, as Bears fans, like anyone who comes here, we see the best in. It's one of the great things about being a part of this team, being a player on this team. People will see the things in you that you don't even see in yourself. There are people still in this fan base that see Velus Jones as a legitimate threatening weapon. There are people still in this fan base who looked at Equanimeous St. Brown when he was here and was like, phenomenal blocker, and guess what? He's got the big body. He's got the speed. He's got everything. Just got to get him to catch the football. That's a major part of playing wide receiver, guys. Every single year, we will tell you that there is a line, a sliver of light and a player that nobody else sees. And we'll force ourselves to believe it. I'm done playing that game, especially with the offensive line. At least give me a different movie. At least give me a different mixture. Something. That's my thing. At least give me something different that I can look at and go, oh, well, maybe this will happen because now this situation, you're in the same situation. And that's why, to me, Connor Williams makes the biggest sense. You want to know why? That's different. At no point with Lucas Patrick, at no point with Cody Whitehair, did you look at those guys and say, well, you know what? That was a top 10 center in the NFL last year that at least you're taking a chance on. Connor Williams, and it's not just different for the sake of doing something different. It's different and taking a chance on something that was an elite level player. That's what I want to see the Bears put in front of their young quarterback. Now, I would have rather seen them do that at left tackle or yeah, I mean, like maybe at right guard, and then you can move a guy over, right? You move Tevin over to right guard, or maybe you do left guard, you move Tevin to left guard. I'm fine with doing the combination, but we are literally, somebody said this yesterday, you're like 18 different offensive line combinations in the last 2 years. And I'm like, my guy, 18 different offensive line combinations in the last 2 months. We're 4 weeks away from the season, guys. Or 5 weeks. When is it? When's the season start? The 8th? We're literally a month away from the season. We are 1 month away from the season. And guess what questions we're asking? The same things we were asking 6 months ago. That's concerning to me. And I love the, listen, I also love the people that are like, well, Pat, I thought it was in Poles we trust. How can you say all these things about how Ryan Poles has built the team? It's in Poles we trust. In Poles we trust does not mean in Poles we don't question. It means, listen, I'm going to trust you to make the decision. Like, I'm following you down this road no matter what. You're my guy. But can we talk about that right there at all? Can we have a, you know, can we talk about that? Is that okay to talk about? I can trust Ryan Poles and still have some questions on the things that he's done. I trust how Ryan Poles has built this team to this point. I question that he has built the team a little bit backwards. You want to know why? Because there's people that know a heck of a lot more about football than me and you guys who didn't play, who were in the NFL, who sit in those rooms with me when I'm doing this podcast or when I'm on the radio, when I'm doing the postgame show. By the way, the postgame show coming back this week. Me, Jeff Meller, Jason McKee sitting there breaking down the game, having a good time. 2 hours after every single game. We'll be back this Saturday, so tap in with us on that. But I got the post, right? Like, I'm sitting there with people who know a heck of a lot more about football than me, and they go, you know, he kind of built this backwards. I hope it works. So I trust Ryan Poles, but I do got some questions. And my biggest question is, are you going to continue to redo the same things that we've seen this Bears team do over the last couple of seasons? Heck, over the last couple of quarterbacks. Forget the last couple of seasons. But maybe that's just me. Now, I'm not calling for anybody to be cut. I know a lot of people are calling for Nate Davis to be cut. I know a lot of people are ready to move on from him. I'm not there. There's a lot of money on the books for Nate Davis still, and I would rather see him still be a part of this team in some capacity versus just moving on from him. even if it's as a depth piece, right? I think that there's still value in having a guy like Nate Davis on this team. Is it an overpay? 100% it is at this point. Unless you see him go out there and just magically ball out and he's freaking David Bakhtiari. But I haven't seen that to this point. But in my books, you don't cut Nate Davis. Do you go out and add a piece like Connor Williams? I think you do. And I've seen a couple people go, but Pat, then you're going to have three centers on the roster. You're not going to take three centers into the season. You don't got three centers. We don't got two right now. Unless you're counting Doug Kramer, Ryan Bates is not a center. Hear me. Ryan Bates is not a center. You signed him with 150 game snaps at center. After his first preseason game with the team, he has 150 game snaps at center. Do you think he's going to magically figure this out over the next 3 weeks? He's not a center. He's a guard that can play some center. This is the same thing like when the Bulls kept throwing guys out there and saying he's a shooting big man. There is a difference. He's a big man that can shoot. Larry Markkanen, big man that can shoot. Nikola Vucevic, big man that can shoot. But we want to sit him on the corner and shoot threes and play the same game every single year. I just don't get it. He's not a center. So if you signed Connor Williams, you would have two centers and three guards. Four guards. You got some solid guards on this team. Solid guard play. Nice backup. And guess what Ryan Bates becomes? Either your starting right guard or your backup right guard. You want to know why? Because that's a position he understands already. And you've got a month for him to figure out the center position. And you think he's going to be your starting center. And then we're going to get to the first game of the season and go, why can't this guy figure it out? I don't get it. It doesn't make sense. He's had all this time to work. He hasn't had time to work at center. He's splitting the time with Coleman Shelton. Every other day, Coleman Shelton's the starting center. I'm not even blaming Ryan Bates for his issues with the snap that we've seen. I can't blame Ryan Bates. They won't put Ryan Bates out there to snap the football consistently. Go out and get a real center who plays center and who was elite at that position who's out there. Well, Pat, you're not going to have as much chemistry built up with Ryan Bates. Ryan Bates, right? I've been ranting so freaking much. With Connor Williams. You're not going to have as much chemistry built up with Connor Williams, Pat. Why would you want to do that? How much chemistry Caleb got built up with the guys that are back there right now? There's a new dude in there every day. There's a new guy trying to figure this out every single day. We're talking about chemistry. How much chemistry you got with Nate Davis? How much chemistry has he got with Ryan Bates? How much chemistry has he got with Coleman Shelton? How much chemistry has he got with Braxton Jones? The guy who's got the most chemistry with is freaking Darnell Wright, probably, and Tevin Jenkins. So I understand the chemistry question, but there's not a ton of chemistry happening here. You're taking chances anyway. Why not take a chance on what did Cap say about freaking Justin Fields? Why not take a chance on greatness? I don't know if that applies the same way here, even though Connor Williams was great when he was out there. But on injury, is he still that same guy? There's a question. There's question marks. But I'd take a chance on the question mark that is a great player versus taking a chance on the question mark of, hey, can he play this position? This is like the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air when, like, they were shooting the pilot episode. Nobody asked Will Smith if he knew how to act. I worked out then. We're just hoping it works out the same way here. I don't know. But hey, I do want to know how you guys feel, man. Let me know in the comments below. Do you think the Bears should go out and get Connor Williams? Do you think that they've done enough with the offensive line this offseason? I'll be down in the comments talking with you guys as well. As always,